Hello world.
Hey y'all.
Welcome to the Rod and Rain show. This is Al Rod.
And Lady Rain as usual.
And tonight we are going to be discussing Jordan Peele's Get Out, Us, and Nope. It will be another ranking discussion. And I will say for this one, I think what separates each movie in my rankings is going to be fairly negligible because I like each of these movies a pretty great deal. And I will say, like, as far as the movie that will be ranked the lowest for me, it is in no way something I consider weak. So just to kind of make people aware of where I'm coming from, in terms of just how I look at these films. Jordan Peele is someone I admire as an artist, because he definitely seems to come from a place of, hey, I want to communicate something of significance to my audience. And he seems to be a very personal director and writer, and those are minds I kind of gravitate to a lot. You can tell that he is wrestling with ideas that are very dear to him, and it just draws me into his vision. So, like, that's just kind of how I want to frame this discussion.
Similarly for me, it's like, I know we want to rank them, but they're all such excellently executed movies that the reasons one fell lower than the other is just because that's how ranking works. Like, I can't give them all first place. So, you know, there are going to be very little, again, it's going to seem probably nitpicky, just to differentiate the top from the bottom, because I also just really enjoy how you can see how Jordan Peele brings in his own experiences, his own interests, and in what he has gotten out of horror himself, and tries to kind of honor that in his films, and he does a very good job in three very different ways in these movies.
Yeah, I agree. So yes, my number three entry for this ranking is Us. Us is a very ambitious movie, and I will say, hands down, out of the three, Us is one that I find to be the most creepy. And I'm left feeling very unsettled at the end of that movie. I think some of the imagery is pretty disturbing. And I think Lupita does such a great job as Red.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, she's frightening sometimes. And I think, you know, with all that said, with everything that I do like about it, I think because the story is so ambitious, some of the ideas feel like they're too big to fit in the story that is executed in this movie. I think by the time Adelaide finds Red in the classroom and Red gives her the entire background of, you know, whatever this governmental entity did underground to try to control the people up above by making the doppelgangers. And, like, once all of that is revealed, and if you start thinking about it a little too much, you kind of ask all these kind of logistical questions. Yeah. Well, if this was, how did, you know, and it's just like, I personally wanted more of that to be fleshed out once it was revealed, just to kind of orient myself around that as an idea.
Right.
But I don't know if going so deep into that would take away from this very intimate story with Adelaide and her family. Like, what's there, I think, is good. But I think once I think of just the larger story and how all of this fits, I feel like some of the ideas in us, not in terms of like the themes or, you know, the subtext or anything, but some of the larger story ideas come off as a little half-baked because of that. So that's why I guess I rank it at number three. But I will say Us, by its conclusion, I have the strongest reaction to that movie in particular. I think it has, it's the ending that has the most impact on me every time I watch it.
Okay.
Because it just makes me recontextualize certain things, and it really, I think at the end, you feel really conflicted about where your sympathies lie, because Adelaide had no business being born in the condition she was in, underground. It was fucked up. But when you see that flashback at the end and just how cold she was and what she, you know, did to Red, mm-hmm. and just choked her out, dragged her down there, and you just see that menacing ass smile she left her with. Like, there was just this glee in doing this girl so wrong and dirty. You're just like, fuck, that's some fucked up shit.
Yeah, there's like so much I want to say, but I'm waiting.
It's like I think Us has the most potent ending out of all of them. But I think when I just take into consideration the totality of the story, I think there were just some elements that were a little lacking, so that's why it's my number three. But I respect it immensely, and I still like it. It's not like it's a horrible film or anything.
Okay, so Us is my number three.
Okay.
As well. And I agree with so much of what you said, that it's number three on my list mostly because it left this space for the most questions logistically.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to just wholeheartedly accept this concept and this idea of the tethered and this has been going on, you know, this whole time. But at the same time, you're like, but how? There are like millions of us out here. And just logistically, the whole underground isn't just gutted out with people.
Yeah.
And how are they all existing and tethered to copy what we're doing and getting to each other in more of a tunnel-like space when we're in this up above ground open space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, my brain is like, if somebody flew across the world and met somebody, like, is the tether? Yeah. Tethers don't have airplanes. Like, how are they? You know, my brain gets the shit like that.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, logistically, it's very hard to like swallow the concept.
When you want us to believe
that the tethered experience is in a tunnel world.
Yeah, when you start thinking a little more about it, it's like, you can't really make sense of it.
And then my brain's like, are there really that many rabbits for them to eat for all time?
There's also that.
I'm like, yeah, rabbits reproduce quickly and in mass quantities, but they're not infinite.
Yeah, and usually I'm not that guy to get hung up on stuff like that, because it's like, you know, I'm really into...
Because that's a sci-fi element to it, too.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm into...
You gotta suspend.
But that's why it's like I would have just wanted just a little more of just seeing what this looked like in terms of just them establishing this in the first place. Like, just give me some kind of visual to go with that, like, at its inception.
Right, because then it also lends me to the part of, okay, coordinating this effort to come above ground and do your hands across America and extinguish your tethers. Like it's my understanding that the tethers outside of Red and Adelaide, like their free will or their free thinking of the tethers isn't really possible because they're existing just to be the mirror of like us above, like for them to coordinate this whole plan and be able to follow like one leader in that world just seemed a little outlandish to me. For like Red to be like, okay, Red jumpsuit scissors, we're all going above ground, kill them all. Yeah, like how you get them to all separate their thinking and no longer be mentally tethered to their above ground match.
My thinking was that Red kind of initiated that for everyone else because she was never supposed to be down there in the first place.
Right.
I think people, well, the other tethered got a sense that she was different.
That she was different. And I think I kind of thought that, like, especially when they get to the scene of like how they all were gathered around watching her dancing. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of like the trigger for the rest of the tethers of like, she's her own person. Mm-hmm. She's not a true tether, because she wasn't.
Yeah.
She was kidnapped and forced to come live among the tethers, but she was kind of the anti-tether
mm-hmm.
to them. And I think in that dance, because it was a dance that was supposed to be for two, but Adelaide was doing it above for one, and with, you know, not necessarily, well, Adelaide knew that it was probably happening as a duo because Adelaide is an original tether. Mm-hmm. But for the audience, they're watching a dance meant for two being performed by one.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the other tethers below ground are seeing this as an anti-tether performing it among the tethered. Like, it's so hard to, like, put it all together verbally.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess I could see how that would kind of unlock them.
Yeah, I think that's the way I kind of look at it.
In a way,
yeah.
And they're like, oh, we don't have to be mentally tethered to our person.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I battled with, like, I think we've watched Us a few times now.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I always battled with is I hated that, like, Adelaide was Adelaide and Red was Red, because I'm like, technically Red is Adelaide. Like, you know, like Red is Adelaide because she is the original who got brought underground, and Red is the one who broke herself free and had got to live Adelaide's life, but she's not Adelaide, she's the tether. So I battled that like the first one or two times. I was like, but she's not Adelaide, why are we calling her Adelaide, like in the grand scheme of things? I knew, you know, like to the world and to her parents, they knew no different, that was Adelaide. But I'm like, Adelaide is Red. You know, and so that was like a big mind fuck for me, where I'm like, ah man, like just little things like that. But I still really enjoyed the movie. I think I only put it in that third spot because it just gives you the space to ask those questions and you don't get those answers.
Yeah.
And there's it's all logistical based really for why I put it in three.
Yeah.
Because I appreciated like the themes, the symbolism, the 11/11, the attention to detail Jordan put in it was just excellent.
Yeah. I think that's always a thing I appreciate about
him. You know, there are just some parts of it where I'm like, but how?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like that stuff. And then I just think Us has probably the biggest volume of ideas in it, but it's just, it can't contain it all.
Another piece of it that goes to the questions is when you get to the end and you're like, who do you sympathize with and what happens now? Because now essentially Adelaide, you know, gets to forever be a tether among the people.
Mm-hmm.
But it leaves me this question of like, what about all those other tethers that It makes me think about like what happens with all the other tethers that she brought above ground, that some of them were probably successful in killing their match.
Sure.
Some of them, but then some, I don't know what we're calling ourselves, the non-tethered, like the above ground version of the tethered, but the humans, you know, like the ones who were not successfully like killed by their tether. It's like, so are we just now living among our tethers? Like, what is the like final outcome of this? Like, because Adelaide has succeeded in killing her pair, and some of the others have, and now she's riding off into the sunset, and we see the Hands Across America thing. But it's like, okay, then what? Like, all those tethers are now among everybody else, or are they just gonna continue to try to kill off all of the non-tethers?
To try to kill off everybody.
And where does that put Adelaide in that?
I mean, Adelaide's not trying to be a part of that at all.
She's not trying to be a part of that, but it's like, where does she go? it's like, what are her and her family like doing now? Because the tethers, especially knowing that she was tethered to Red, and they looked to Red for their leadership, Red is gone. So now they're like, well, Adelaide is still like, you know, just what does that mean for the tethers among the humans? Ending with that question for me, it just left me like with a now what?
Yeah.
And that was another reason why I just, you know, it left a hole for me. So I put it at 3.
I think another thing that's just kind of fucked up also is that you pretty much spend the whole movie just thinking Red is this almost just animalistic presence. And I think her voice adds a lot to that too. Mm-hmm. And you don't attach a whole lot of humanity to her. But then when you see that flashback at the end to where, you know, Red and Adelaide first confronted each other, and you see that Adelaide is the reason Red even sounds like that when she choked her out.
Right.
It's like, you just feel really fucked up for Red because...
Like, she living her life.
You took her life.
You took her life and her... You took her identity.
And then it's like you spent this whole... You spent the entire movie with this kind of lack of humanity attached to Red because speaking for myself, I mean, all of my sympathies were with Adelaide. It's like, y'all are intruding on my family.
Right.
We're just...
She's
just there trying to protect her family and you're encroaching on that. And sorry, like, I have nothing to do with your condition, but now you're a threat to my family. Then you see.
But then you're like, but you are the reason she's in that condition. Like, and this is the family that she should have had a chance to build for herself.
Right. I think in wrestling with that, you see what I think Jordan Peele is really trying to convey is like, we need to be able to see ourselves in others who are struggling so that we can humanize them. Because mm-hmm. I think so often we just do not attach any humanity to certain people that we just can't readily identify with. I think there's a critique within us. There's a critique of just that whole libertarian impulse of like, we got ours over here. Y'all get the fuck away from me. Stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
And that's the real us. That is the United States.
That was
how we operate.
That was the whole reasoning behind when, I can't remember who asked in Adelaide's family, but they were like, who are you? And Red was like, we're Americans.
We're Americans.
And I'm like, it made absolute sense. Like, the first time you watch it, you have to take a second to think about why she would say that.
Mm-hmm.
But then after you've watched the whole movie and you see the struggle, you're like, that is the American experience.
Yeah.
It's, I've got mine. Once I've got mine, even if it's at the expense of you.
Yep.
I'm good now. Go crawl in your tunnel. Leave me alone. You know, yeah. like, I used you as a rung in my ladder to get where I wanted to get.
Yeah.
And then you're forgotten, no sympathy, no empathy, no nothing.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what Adelaide initiated.
Mm-hmm.
And then just left Red behind. And then you feel like I had so much sympathy. I'm like, and then for Red to be the one to lose her life. I'm like, really? Like,
yeah.
She was the victim the whole time. And you she just, was. Like.
And she chokes her out chokes her out at the end.
Yes.
And you just, there's just something so disturbing about seeing the animalistic nature come out of her again.
Yes, and Adelaide does it. And like, she seemed like,
yeah,
somewhat comfortable with, like, she didn't
smile,
have
that smile at the end of the movie.
Yes,
it's just like,
it's like you just did that,
yeah.
You know, and you're sitting here like empathizing with Red, who just wanted her life back. She's like, you damned me to like this tunnel tether life,
mm-hmm.
and you stole my life, and then you just get to keep on going with it.
Yeah,
and oh man. And I'm sitting here like, well, shit, it's number three on the list. But, man, that,
no, it's like, very,
it's got to be there.
It's very layered. And I think it speaks to how subconsciously I feel like in America, even though we don't outwardly function in this way, subconsciously I feel like we're pitted against each other because of just the condition we're in and the capitalist society. That we have to play in. We're subconsciously at each other. I need this job before any of y'all can get it because my family needs me to provide.
Yeah.
And you go back to Adelaide trying to come up to the top. It's like, oh, you're here in my face. The key to the higher level of society is, let me take your ass out and drag you down here.
And let me come see what this life is like.
Let me see what this life is like.
I'm tired of eating
and
rabbit.
Now that I'm here.
You see what it's like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now that I'm here, I'm going to do whatever is necessary to stay here.
To stay here.
And it's
and
just,
whatever life I've built for myself while I was here, I will fight to keep it.
Yeah. And that's, that is us.
That is us.
That is literally us. And it's just, I think Jordan, I think particularly this movie has the most ideas woven into it out of all of them.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the hell out of it for that. But a superficial block for me is that sometimes I don't always want to rewatch it for that reason because it's just so potent, and I think it just stirs up these feelings in me of just uneasiness sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's just that ending is just so disturbing to me.
Yeah. I'm just remembering that that's the one movie that I did take some notes on.
Yeah.
So I'm just making sure I covered everything. Although, I mean, it sounds like I'm describing a movie that wouldn't have been in last place. It just, something had to be there.
Yeah.
But one thing I wrote down that I noticed is that when Adelaide was about to end Red's life, she made a very tether-like noise. I don't know.
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she made like, she almost sounded like Red while she was taking out Red.
Mm-hmm.
It was like she kind of went back to her, like.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. The animal came out,
yeah,
of her.
Yeah, like she went back to her roots right there. And, like, for, like, that brief moment, she was in tether.
And I think when you see her get her son out the locker, he's disturbed by her at this point.
Yeah,
like, he felt uncomfortable.
Like, yeah, he's kind of, like, very unsettled.
Yeah.
Like, wait, this is my
mom. Yeah, he's like, who the fuck are you right now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he saw anything, but he probably heard it all.
Yeah.
And he probably heard that somebody died, and then when it's who he knows as mom, Adelaide, coming to get him out the locker, he knows that means this lady just took the life of the lady who looked like her.
And she's
my mom.
Doing.
Yes. 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 And then now I got to ride off into the sunset with this lady, and I know her secret.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You feel for the kid because it's like, I'm pretty sure he now knows the secret. He knows what has happened, and he's got to go back up here with his non-tethered dad and his his anti-tethered dad and auntie, and then his, I guess, the sister.
It's like, mom was really one of them.
Right. That's like we are half tethered. And we got to ride around with this crazy lady now. Like, she technically, she stole somebody's life to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did write that down. That she made that tether-like noise, and she went very back to her roots with that.
Yeah, because there are certain things that happen that seem like they're kind of hinting at maybe Adelaide's true nature, because there's like a moment in the car where she's
I know what you're about to say. Jason.
Yeah, she's telling Jason
you were going to say that.
And she's off.
She was off with her snap. It's like she's trying to convince them, like, hey, look, I've got some rhythm.
He's
found the rhythm better than you
did. Yeah, it's such an awkward moment.
It was just such a weird way to like engage.
Yeah.
Like, because the song's on and people are trying to like, it was like she was trying to sound natural in that moment. She was trying to react so naturally to it. And then she's like, come on, Jason. And I'm like, Jason was fine.
Yeah.
Like, Jason didn't need, like, you find the rhythm. Jason didn't need you to tell him how to, like, groove to the song.
Yeah, they were just vibing. And then all of a sudden she was like Parketti clapping in the church.
Yes, and it just felt like such an unnatural, like, dialogue or just thing to say in that moment.
Yeah,
because normally, like, a song comes on in the car and the family's all, whatever, but for her to like turn around and just initiate, like, come on, Jason, get on the I'm like, that just isn't even what that would,
I'm like, if Gabe did it, it would make complete sense.
Man, we didn't say nothing about Gabe in here. Gabe was my favorite. I love Gabe so much.
God, why am I, what's the actor's name?
I was about to call him his Black Panther name. And I know his name.
I do know his name. Duke. Winston Duke.
Winston
right?
Duke. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
He was hilarious in this.
Yeah. I loved him.
For all I say about how disturbing this particular movie was, I will say he was like,
he was comedy.
So comedic.
Probably, it's in some places, unintentionally.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, he's not trying so hard to come across as like this big goofy guy.
He's just like perfect suburban Black dad.
He's like pitch perfect corny.
Yes, he's like your ultimate like dad jokes model.
Oh my gosh.
For him to be such a big dude too, like he was like so unintimidating. Like at least as Gabe. His tether was intimidating, but him as Gabe, you got this big dude and supposed to be scaring people out, like, you just didn't buy it from him. He was just big suburban soft dad, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, I think we need to give a lot of props to the technical aspect of the movie too.
My gosh, yes.
Because I mean that was a huge labor.
Yeah, the undertaking to have everybody play themselves and their tether. And then the work of cutting that together so seamlessly. Yeah,
crazy, man. Like that, the craftsmanship in that alone, I feel like the movie deserves a lot of props for.
It's still number three.
Yeah.
But
that's just a testament to
how good all
just
of them
the whole production, first of all, and then, the acting, and then Jordan Peele. Yeah, I think it's just a testament to the work that, like, this is a third place movie, but I mean, there's just so much.
But it's still a top movie.
There's so much to praise it for.
Right.
So, I want to make sure there's nothing else I neglected to bring up before I move on. But, I think Us is really good. If anything,
it's a solid movie, man. It's horror. It is. It's a great.
Yeah, it is the most horrific.
It's the most horrific out of the three.
Very creepy.
I can't say enough about Lupita's, like, Red and Adelaide acting. She was incredible.
And those last, like, maybe 5 or so minutes, they really, I don't know what it is, man. It disturbed me more than any other movie I could really think of because of just what it meant and how it made you shift your thinking.
Right. About what it meant because of who the characters were.
Yeah.
Is what made that so unsettling. Like, yeah. I mean, I've seen, you know, like, movies where someone's choking out someone. It's just because of who the two people were in this showdown and what it meant.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah, I remember that twist really messed with me.
Yeah.
It really did, because I'm just like, oh,
like, it it makes you just look at Adelaide. I was riding Adelaide with you
this whole movie.
Right, and it's like, you... Because when you first watch the movie, you're thinking that when Adelaide goes down to the funhouse, she had some sort of experience in there. But you're not thinking that, like, she was kidnapped and swapped. You're thinking that, like, she came back unchanged. She came back changed. Like, something happened, and so now she's, like, she had some trauma with whatever happened in the funhouse. Or she got so scared, like, she's now had a PTSD-type response that impacted her, but you're not thinking she was a different person.
Yeah.
Like, at least a different being. I wasn't either.
I think some people might have.
So, your first viewing, you're thinking, like, man, whatever she saw in there messed her up. And, you know, now she's terrified of going to the beach and all of that. Like, you're thinking it's all just a trauma response. Not, oh, no, she's a different person.
Yep.
She's been kidnapped, and this is someone else who's been living her life, and that's why she came back not talking. So, like, when you get to that twist, especially that first time, you're like, wait a minute, that wasn't Adelaide?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was Adelaide. But it was, you know, like, that's why I'm always like, technically Red is Adelaide. Like, and it just, it messes with you, man. It is unsettling because then you're like, you get to the end and you're like, wait, Adelaide isn't Adelaide, so who did she kill? Holy shit, she just killed Adelaide. Like, you know, like, that was horrific.
It was disturbing. And I think this isn't a knock against the movie, but I think those last 10 or so minutes is why I subconsciously probably don't rewatch it as much. because I mean, that's a testament to just how effective it was, because it really disturbed me on that level.
Right. And it did.
Yeah. I can't think of too many movies recently that gave me that kind of reaction.
Yeah.
So, if anything, if there's maybe a superficial reason that the other two are just above it, is because I probably just, I have more fun watching it. Whereas, like, Us is kind of like, those last 10 minutes are kind of, they're kind of hard, man.
Yeah.
They're kind of hard, so, yeah.
All right.
So
we're good? Ready for your number two?
Yes, my number two.
Let's see where we're at.
My number two is Nope.
Okay.
When we did, well, we rewatched this yesterday. That was my second.
That was only your second.
That was only my second viewing of the movie. I remember I watched it the first time. And honestly, after my first watch, I had no opinion. That's probably the first time I've been completely blank. The first time in a while. I've had movies where I've been just kind of blank, not really sure what I thought. But yeah, I remember watching Nope the first time, and there were elements of intrigue. I knew I wasn't bored watching it, but by the time it finished, I was left thinking about what everything meant. Because I think in this particular movie, even though Jordan Peele has this in all three, I think this movie, he really relies even more on just visual storytelling more so than dialogue. After my second watch, I think there were certain things that started to click a little more. The themes in Nope are interesting. I don't think it's as thematically packed as something like Us was,
right?
Because it really is just wrestling with one general idea, which is people's obsession with spectacle.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's people's obsession with spectacle and just sensationalism, I think, is what you can kind of expand and broaden it to. I think in this movie you see how human beings become consumed with chasing spectacle to their own detriment.
Yep.
And I just thought that was just an interesting angle for a UFO movie, essentially.
So, can I just say,
yeah,
Nope is my number two as well.
Okay.
So, if we can have, like, just an open dialogue. Oh, yeah, sure. There's so much I want to say, but I'm like, let me just get it out there. Like, Nope is my number two movie as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are just small reasons why, but it's another well-done movie, because I did also like that it's putting it right in your face that, like, we will kill ourselves for some clout.
Absolutely.
It's like, that's essentially what this movie is, you know, and then the ones that wouldn't have common sense. But, you know, like, it takes a very grounded, humble, smart type of person to know when to say when.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the ones who were not eaten, you know, it wasn't about the clout to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, their chasing of it was more so to save the family business.
Yep.
And, you know, if their life was going to be on the line, like, they had their head on their shoulders, right, to be like, there's a way to go about this and not cause our own demise. Whereas, the guy on the motorcycle and Jupe and, you know, anybody else who was trying to get in on it, for them, it's just like, I want to be the first. I got to be the first. I need my name on it. It's going to be a hit. The dollars, the fame, the whatever. And you ignore all signs, logic, instructions, rules, advice, warnings, caution. None of that matters, because you just got to be first.
Yeah. And in Jupe's case, he ignored his own prior experience.
Yes. Friggin' Jupe, man. Yeah, I'm like,
this is crazy.
That dude, like, and the fact that Jupe had been sitting on that for 6 months, first of all, because, dang, I'm forgetting friggin' the siblings' names now in the movie.
OJ.
OJ, there we go. Because, like, you know, OJ and
M,
there we go. Thank you.
Yeah.
OJ and M, you know, like, this is all just now kind of starting to show up for them around the time, like, when their dad died, because they were like, because OJ didn't believe it was, like, a small plane, you know, like, he would have seen and heard that. But, like, Jupe had been sitting on it, and essentially he was, like, buying off fucking OJ's horses to feed the thing.
Yeah.
And poor OJ is sitting here thinking he's got a shot to get his horses back, because he's just been selling them to try to keep things afloat, not realizing that Jupe's over here feeding aliens with his horses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like, just to build up to this big reveal show, you know, that ends up being Jupe's demise anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, sir, you had all the signs. I'm like, this is not a good idea.
Yeah.
You've been here before. In a different way.
A big element that's crucial to this story is just respecting the nature of something that is wild.
Right.
or like, even if you even when you tame it, it's like you have to respect what it is.
Yeah.
And I think routinely you saw this disregard. And I think just in that early scene where OJ has the horse in front of the green screen, and you see directly what the movie is going to be, you know, wrestling with.
Yep.
Because you see the horse that's part of this production.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be a trained horse, but it's still an animal.
It's still an animal. So when
and it still has rules, you know.
When that member of the crew had that
the spear,
the spear, and then the horse just reacted. It's to like
a reflection.
You know, you have to be knowledgeable about what it is you're handling,
right?
Before you're just willy nilly.
And if you're not, you got to listen to the handler,
exactly,
because it's got rules and procedures for the safety of everybody.
Right.
But everybody just wants to jump right in, do their own thing, get their, you know, get their cut, get their scene, get whatever they're trying to get, and it's like microwave. They want it now.
Exactly. Yeah, and that, I think in there is a critique of just our society and how we, when you approach a situation and your mind is just set on, or your mind is set solely on how you can exploit something for your immediate ends, you overlook a lot of things at your own peril.
Yeah, you really do.
And it's dangerous.
Like, all you see is the end, the dollar sign or the fame or the whatever that you think you're going to get on the other side. And so you're willing to overlook a whole lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's in so much of our society now. I mean, look at our energy policy or lack thereof and how much our present day behavior is going to just fuck us in the future.
We'll have nothing.
We're
not going to be able to breathe on our own planet.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to be our own fault.
Yeah.
Because people don't know how to just follow the rules, look at the signs, and plan accordingly.
But everything is about what is now. What is now, what's happening now. And we had the discussion in the car. Was it yesterday?
I think so.
Yeah, we were just talking about just what people are valuing in entertainment. And it's just spectacle, drama, bullshit. And we chase it. And, you know, what happens is you root out a lot of other content that could be more substantive.
Yeah. And
beneficial.
Informative.
And
sustainable.
Yeah. So much so that there's like, it's harder for, you know, that stuff that actually means something to have a place. And so yeah, I felt like this movie was very critical of that at a time where, you know,
message people need.
It needed to be critical of that. And I don't know if enough people are gonna hear it or even bother to watch the shit, but
I know, man, which is such a shame, because I this was another movie where not only was the story a message that people need, but it's another one where the artistry is there, it's the technical, another movie that, like, just technically the work Jordan put into this movie, you don't see directors, producers doing stuff like that. Like, he had to, you know, the lighting, the way he was able to get the coloring and the lighting for the nighttime scenes by somehow magically, you know, getting the cameras, they had to come up with a way to film during the day and get the lighting just right in a, give you the tones that we got for those night scenes. But all of those pieces together just really helped deliver the main message of the movie.
Yeah.
the performances. I am going to go out on the record and say I am not typically a Keke Palmer fan, but I enjoyed her in this movie.
I think just watching her and Kaluuya play off each other was entertaining. They did feel like
that. I was like so worried that I was going to be like, she's going to ruin this for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she's like this terrible person or actress. I mean, she's just not my cup of tea. And everybody's not for everybody. And she just, you know, she's a bit obnoxious to me at times. Mm-hmm. And so I was really worried that that was going to come across here. But I really enjoyed her in this movie. I thought she was great balance to OJ's character for them as siblings. She was very like, she was just the opposite of what OJ was.
Yeah.
And it worked, but it worked. They played so well together.
They did.
I
like OJ a lot too as a character, because he's just, he is so content in how basic he is.
Yes.
And you don't see that a lot in movies.
You know what I really liked about that, though? Because I remember when we were watching the trailer for this, we were kind of like, okay, this is going to be like a Western sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, he was, like, the bulk of, like, your Western in this movie. Mm-hmm. He was, like, your just kind of down-home cowboy.
Yeah.
And he was just soft, quiet, basic, all about the farm, the animals, got a job to do. And I just really like that his character brought in like the Western elements to this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That you get, you know, because you don't get cowgirl out of him at all. But OJ gave you just down home cowboy.
Yeah.
And like nothing fazed him.
Like, yeah, I think he complimented the theme very well, because he's the type of person that it's not easy for him to get consumed with spectacle at all.
Right. Like,
it's
cowboys don't care about class.
Yeah, he doesn't have any of that. Like, he's not remotely interested in it.
He was just a cowboy wanting to save his farm and his horse.
Exactly.
Like, he was there for the horses.
Yeah. Like, if anything, even interacting with this UFO, if he had to, it was to save the horses.
He was like, if this picture is going to allow me to buy back my horses,
yeah.
If getting a picture of this thing is saving my farm and I keep my horses, that's why he was in.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't in for anything but, I'm getting my horses back.
Beyond
I'm saving
that,
Hayward Hollywood's horses.
Yeah. Beyond that, like, it had a practical, it was to meet a practical end for him.
Yes.
Whereas, like, others that were just so consumed with, do you see this? You know what this means? Like, you know, just for the sake of just the spectacle itself.
The spectacle. And what I loved about it for OJ is that when they get the shot and you get to the end, it's him on Lucky.
Yes.
On the horse. Yes. And it's like, mission accomplished. I've got my horse. I saved my horse. I saved the town.
Yep.
I keep in my house. And we got the shot.
Yep.
And it's like, and now he can just go back to being Cowboy OJ.
Yeah,
like, he doesn't care about anything that happens after this point. He's got his horse, and the alien's gone. He don't have to worry about his horse getting ate up, and he's got his farm.
Yeah.
And I just loved that silhouette of him at the end when we see the picture come out, we got the shot, and he's there on the horse, and it's like, that's his happily ever after right there.
Yeah.
I got my horse.
That's all. Yeah, that's all it is.
I love that.
Yeah. I think Nope is, I don't know, like, how to put it into words. It's just, it was a different experience. I don't think I've seen anything like that in a good while.
I liked this movie. I enjoyed it. It still, you know, it has horror elements in it, so it does count. But I mean, it was entertaining, but it was a necessary message packaged in just a very unique story.
Yeah, Nope was really fucking good to me, man.
I liked it a lot. It's number two, but I liked it a lot.
It's number two, but there's nothing like I could point to as a weakness with Nope, honestly.
Right.
I feel like Us if I had it was to, just
the grandiose ideas.
Yeah, that's put what it into is. One, it's like
trying to fit it into one feature.
Yeah, yeah. And I could technically consider that a weakness, right? With us, whereas with Nope, I don't
like it's. I don't it's think only there's number anything. Two because it's not number one. Like, yeah, it's like yeah.
I feel yeah. like it doesn't bite off more than it can chew. It's.
I feel like the theme was clear enough. Of course, it's not like, you know, on the sleeve. You still have to do some interpretation. But yeah. It's there for you to interpret. You know, you're not yeah. left with like these holes. The messaging is there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I like it.
So. Surprise. Surprise, surprise. Number one is...
Get Out.
Get Out. Get Out.
For both of us. We got the same list today.
Yeah. okay, I think one of the reasons it's my number one is that Get Out is funny. Get Out is like, it balances it's got the comedy.
Best balance of comedy.
Yeah, it balances the comedy and horror elements the best yep. out of
I agree with
any
that.
Of the others. I think it's paced very well. Like, it starts out, you're kind of just getting oriented to, okay, what is, you know, Chris and
Rose's
relationship. And just kind of feeling it out, like, you know, how tight are they? And you're kind of lured into this false sense of security with her because she's got his back legit. With the cops.
Yeah.
She says all the right things. Yeah. Until they get to the house. And there's some areas where she comes off a little too chill with some of the stuff that he was reporting.
Yes.
Like, he starts telling her things.
She's just like trying to play it off. Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're okay. in on this somehow.
Yeah. You're like, what's
what are you in on, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think at those points, especially when you watch it again.
And then for me, like, as soon as I saw her in that red striped shirt, I was like, oh yeah, she's in on something. Because it was just too dang obvious to me. I'm like, no, that's red means stop. Red means danger. What's happening?
Yeah. But, where was it? What was I going to say?
You were just naming points of why.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was talking about the pacing.
Yeah.
And yeah, once you get to the house, you're
the dad, man. The dad. My it's man. Like,
right. Yeah, red flag number two, bro. My man. This thing.
How long this thing? Oh, man. All the stuff.
Yeah, man. And you get to the house and you feel uneasy right away. And they're just... Like Jordan Peele said in the special features, he said he had things kind of going on that would make Chris a little uncomfortable, but not uncomfortable enough to just, you know, leave immediately.
Right. It was very believable responses and behaviors yeah. that he wanted Chris to show.
Yeah, because he's like, he's still there with Rose, and, you know, he kind of has Rose as like an anchor to some of these somewhat microaggressions in a way.
Yeah. No, very much microaggressions to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like people just feeling them up and
yeah. Yeah. Just,
is it true what they say?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's one thing I really like about the movie too, is that it pokes at all those, like, well, I think at first, before the party, just when he's kind of conversing with the dad and everything, it calls attention to all those subtle things that that people do that they don't realize it's kind of off-putting to minorities.
Right. Or especially black people. Like, it's like you can see what they're doing. Like yeah, they're trying to sound like an ally or relatable. They're trying to sound like, hey, I'm down with your people, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, I see what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay.
It's like you're pointing out all the cultural stuff and your ties to black stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to do that just because I'm black.
Right.
Like,
and
you can tell me about the white people in these pictures too, you know? Yeah.
I remember my first time watching it, once it had gotten to that point in the movie, I was like, okay, Jordan Peele gets it. he gets it. Like, this is like the patronizing shit that we hate.
Yes.
And they just don't get it.
And they think that it's like helpful.
Yeah.
They think that it's passing is making them look good to us.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's obnoxious.
It is.
It just makes me look at you even harder as like not being an ally, because you feel like you have to bring up certain points to let me know that you understand like the black experience or black. And I'm like, I don't need you to prove that you know about a black person for everything in your life.
Yes.
It's like, hey, I work with a black guy. I know a black athlete. My granddad ran with a black guy. It's like, that's, we don't need that. That's not the progress we're looking for.
So like that was once it got to that point in the story, I was like, okay, I'm watching something made by someone who gets it and understands.
And what's he about to do with
this? What is he going to do then do with
what
this?
How is he going to make this horror?
Exactly. And you don't see where it's going for a long time. You're just like,
okay, you see all of these buildups of like, okay, something's gonna happen with them and Chris, and it's gonna have to do with race, and it's gonna be bad, but you don't know what.
Yeah, because all you really have is Lil Rel's warnings to kind of like foreshadow like some fucked up shit.
And then
get
Andre at the party.
Andre.
And then you're kind of like, okay, so they're doing something with him.
Yeah.
But you're still like thinking like that it's Andre, but like brainwashed or something.
Yeah.
You still don't fully understand what happened to Andre. so you're still trying to figure out, okay, what is this?
Yeah, and I think what adds to just how peculiar it is that you have Rose's mom do her little hypnosis exercise with Chris, and that just throws such a weird wrinkle in there out of nowhere, and you're just like, what the fuck are we doing right now?
Yes.
It's like sinking to the floor.
Yes,
that was just a crazy
the sunken
visual.
Place terrified me.
The
thought of experiencing that is the horror. It's part of the horror to me, where I'm like, that has got to be like the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, just visually, before you get context as to like what that actually
what
will
it's tied
be,
to, right?
It's like it's already just visually like fucked up. It's like, what is this? Because like, you just see Chris and just free fall,
but he still can see.
Yeah.
He still can hear, but he cannot act upon anything.
But later, when they actually explain it, it's even more frightening.
It's like, that's going to be his purgatory.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what they've done to, like, everybody. They've disappeared.
Yeah. And that's one thing I love about this movie, too, is just once some of the concepts are elaborated on, like, that's the horror in it to me is just psychologically.
Yes. Like,
the thought of some of this stuff is just so...
The thought of being a passenger in your own body.
Yeah, the thought in itself is already fucked up enough, and to see how Jordan visually represents it is just... Yeah, it's really disturbing shit. And, I feel like Get Out was just this huge thing that came out of left field, because we didn't go to the theater to see it. And I remember seeing the initial trailers, and
there was nothing off-putting about it or anything. Mm-hmm. I just dismissed it. Like, I didn't think it was going to be something groundbreaking or anything like that. I'm like, oh, that looks kind of funny.
That kind of comes across as like, okay. Like, and then you know, like, Lil Rel's going to be in it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, we got, it's an original.
Yeah, I definitely thought it looked original, but I was, when I saw it, I was like, I'm not pressed to see it. Like, it was one of those, I'll catch it whenever. But when I finally watched it, I'm like, damn, I was sleeping on this.
Yeah, I wish I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, I totally would have went to the theater to see that. But, it was just a good, different movie. I think what really drew me to it is that it just seems like so many movies are scared to even go anywhere near race.
Yeah.
Unless it's historical.
Oh my gosh. You never see anything. Historical or a part of a biopic history. Yeah.
You never see anything in the modern day confronting race at all.
Just live experience. Just
period.
Yeah.
And right away, I mean, that was just something I loved about it. And then to see that it was just hitting on all those subtle things. And then as the story develops, it's like, oh, these people are just outright full-fledged just racist as hell. Like, they're literally trying to just take our fucking bodies from us.
Yeah.
And
because black is in fashion.
Yeah. Like, it's in vogue.
Yeah.
That was just, I don't know, like, I just admired the hell out of it then, and I still love it now.
And for it to be his first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he hit it out the park, man. First time directing, incredible story. I mean, the horror, like you said, was just psychologically just terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you're watching it, and as you're starting to put pieces together, I mean, it feels like, it's like, you know, it's something that couldn't happen, but then you're also like, but could it? You know, it's like, yeah. Like, it leaves you with just like this, holy shit, like, what if they could do that? You know? You know, like, that is horrifying. I'm like, it's just brain surgery, you know? I'm like, that doesn't seem so far-fetched or supernatural compared to some other ways they could have portrayed it. So, like, that gives you this horror of, like hypnosis is, you know, some people believe hypnosis is a thing. And, like, you just look at it and you're like, that, is that how they get some of us, you know? Yeah. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then to see Rose switch so quickly. Yeah. I'm like, oh man, she is a pro.
Every time I see that scene where he's asking for the keys.
For the keys.
It's like, that was like maybe my sixth, seventh time watching that movie, and I still just feel so pissed for Chris.
Yes, because I'm like, oh, you know. My dude. That's like, sir, you should have drove.
Give me those keys.
Bro, the case, like, you could just see the desperation where he's like, hold up, she's not gonna get these keys.
Oh yeah, and when she finally pulls him out,
yeah,
and you just see his look.
She probably had him the whole time, just, first of all, and he's just like,
shit. Yeah, you just see his look of defeat when she pulls the keys out. It's just,
and it's like he kind of knew it was coming because he had just found all those pictures in the closet.
Yep. Yep.
So it's like he just found the pictures in the closet, and two of those people are there in the house as like workers now. So he already is like, I just really need her to pull through for me with these keys. So then when she holds up the keys and she's like, you know, I can't give it, he's just like, shit.
Oh, yeah, this is about to happen.
I'm about to be a picture in the closet. Yeah. Like,
this is about to happen to me. Yep.
And then did you notice when she was sitting there eating her Fruit Loops separate from the milk, she had the pictures on the wall behind her in the room.
Oh, no. I did not.
Like, she put those shits up fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because no, when she was sitting there eating the cereal, she had all the pictures were back up above her bed.
I never realized
that. So it's like she enjoys that, like, that, you know, until she finds her next person to bring home, like, that's who she is. She had, I think there were like 6 of them, like, hanging up above her bed.
Dang.
Like, as soon as she passed him off and was like, all right, dad's got him, deal's done, she had that shit back up, and she was on the prowl for the next one. It's like a collection to her, kind of like the deer head down in the basement. Like, she had those pictures up on the wall, like, that was her collection.
That's fucked up. I never realized that.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until this last watch we did. She was sitting there on the bed. You can see there's 6 of the pictures, and they she had them in little frames above her bed while she's sitting there looking for her next one.
This bitch.
Yeah, right. It's like, to her, like, this is her collection. This is her role in it all, and she's just picking them up.
My collection of
blacks. Yeah, her collector's cards.
The blacks.
Yeah, I was like, we've seen that movie a few times, and this was the first time I realized, like, wait a minute, there are the pictures right there behind her.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, forget. But I enjoyed. I love the car. I love Lil Rel in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Fucking hilarious. It was just so well done. Story was clear, executed. The acting was great. I loved the little. I don't know if it was so subtle, but I love how, like, Chris was the only one in blue at the garden party. Everybody else had on black, white, and red.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was genius. Something about, like, the bingo auction was, like, creepy to me.
Oh, it's the way they filmed it.
The way they filmed it, and the music over it, and
the slow pullout to reveal Chris's picture.
Right, that he in a big-ass frame.
Very, yeah.
It's like, you're like, they're really auctioning this man off.
Yeah.
And we're still unsure of, like, what they're auctioning him off for. It's like, we saw Andre at the party. We know something he's going to, you know, become among them, but we don't know exactly what the auction is, like, to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you buying outside of, like, yes, we know you're buying Chris's body, but for what, you know?
Yeah, what are you
like, what's going to happen to him?
Story,
yep. Yeah. But yeah, that auction scene was fucking terrifying to me. There's so much. You could just put so many. The little things that went into making this, the little elements what made it number one for me.
It just captures your attention right away. And as soon as Chris gets to the house, I mean, there's not a whole lot happening, but a lot happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what just really drew me in, because there's just so many. There's just so many subtle things at play, and you're just interested to see how Chris reacts to it all, I guess.
Yes.
And
I love that, like you said, how Jordan had him written in a way to where everything Chris did wasn't so far-fetched that we wouldn't be screaming at the screen, like, Chris, get your ass out of, you know, like, it was like everything he did was like within believability for him to do,
and for the few things where
you are kind of like wanting to yell at him,
Rel, like,
being the voice for us, being
the voice for us, like, boy,
I told you I was not to go over there.
maybe not suggesting that they want to make him a sex slave.
He was a little off. But although some of them were, because.
Oh, shit,
the chick with the wheelchair husband,
she probably would have made
Chris's ass a sex slave.
That's a good point. Because
she was filling him up, like, is it true what they say? So is it better? Like, he would have been sex slave if she won that auction.
So, yeah, everything Lil Rel said
was valid. And Andre was kind of sex slave, because he was like, I haven't been out of the house much lately. Remember? So he kind of was sex slave. He was like, you know, I don't know. About the black experience, because I ain't been out of the house much lately.
The visual of him fucking that every night.
Every night, hilarious. Because it's got a white guy on the inside, but the black man on the outside. I'm sitting here like, okay, maybe they did make him sex slave. I don't think they all buying them, because clearly, you know, Chris got auctioned off ultimately for his eyes, but some of these chicks is probably buying them, making them sex slaves. Because the two women there who was eyeing them was like, that's what they wanted.
Oh, man.
So, you know, Lil Rel wasn't too far off. Because that woman was feeling him up, and I'm just like, yo, she wants to jump his bones.
That is funny.
And the guy in the wheelchair is like, I just can't wait to have my bones jumped again, because he's in the wheelchair like, I ain't getting none.
Damn.
So, yeah. So sex slaves kind of was one of the reasons.
Sex slave was on point,
man. It was on there. Like, one of the reasons you in these auctions is because you want a sex slave.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's hilarious. Because you were looking at Lil Rel like, no, that ain't it. But when you know, in hindsight, you're like, well,
no. You weren't wrong.
They kind of, some of them was.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, fucking Andre's ass was like, I haven't been. That, he was hilarious. But like,
yeah, I was going to say.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to say, Lakeith Stanfield, for what little time he's in here, he just leaves such an impression.
He does. He played like.
Oh my God.
White black guy hilariously.
And it was all in the eyes.
Yes.
It was just like. He turns around that first time.
And you're like, oh, no, he's gone. He turns around, he's like, that ain't Andre.
He didn't even have to say anything.
Yes, he had on them clothes, that hat, and then you turned and saw his face, and you were like, oh, Andre ain't in there.
Yeah, yeah, but there's so much to like about that movie, man. Yeah,
it's one, like, whenever we're kind of like, hey, I'm going to watch something, it's the one movie I'll name out of the three.
It's in terms of story, it's probably the most straightforward. Yeah. But
yeah, there's not much to interpret. You watch it once, you've got it. You know,
yeah.
You're rewatching it just because you like the movie, but not to get much more out of it. You know, because it's all there. There's really no.
I mean, not to say that it's basic or anything.
Right.
I mean, there's definitely. A lot going on with Jordan's visual storytelling in that film, and I mean, I think all of these films are laced with symbolism that's fairly interesting. But yeah, I mean, Get Out is like, you look at that movie and you watch it once or twice, and I think it's revealing all that it has to offer,
right.
The most,
right.
In probably the most accessible way than the others.
I agree.
So, yeah, Get Out still works. The movie as is, the canon movie, is really good. I think it's gonna hold up forever. Really, I can't say. I don't know. I can't say a bad thing about Get Out.
I can't either.
I cannot pick out. All the performances are amazing. I don't think there's any dull area.
Yeah, it never gets bored. The pace is perfect.
It's perfect.
It's one of those, like, if it's on, I'll watch it.
I will watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it every time.
Yeah. Like, if it happens to be on, I'll watch it. We own it, so we watch it because we have it. But, I mean, if it's one of those I'm flipping channels or something or see, I'll watch it.
Yeah. So, that's why it's my number one. I can't think of any
strike give it any weaknesses. Against it. Yeah.
Even if I'm, like, playing devil's advocate, I can't. I got nothing.
I have nothing. And, like, for me, like, I can't nitpick it.
Me neither.
It's number one for me out of his three so far. And I hope he's got more planned. Because he has gotten me to the point where I'm always going to be intrigued at what he does.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to make me show up. Like, I know that if I show up to one of his movies, I'm going to get something, you know, original, or I'm going to get a viewing experience that's going to challenge me or intrigue me, engage me. Because he's 3 for 3 with me right now.
And nowadays, that's all I'm really asking for.
Yeah.
Like, even with Us, even though it was ranked number 3 for me, the fact that it was ambitious and maybe kind of fell flat in certain areas, I admire that more than just a safe movie that keeps me engaged the whole time. I don't think I'll revisit that as much.
I agree.
If you're just a safe movie that kind of held my attention and I was pleased at the end of it.
You didn't do nothing new. You didn't push a card.
Those aren't the movies I'm rewatching often.
Correct.
And I like just artistic messiness in that sense. Like, I just like art that is ambitious. I like
risk takers.
Yeah, I would rather you risk and maybe, you know, fall in a few areas than just do something completely safe.
Yep.
Because that's just not interesting.
I agree.
And
so I will commend him for that, and I'll always show up for a Jordan Peele film.
Yeah.
I know that he's going to give me something to talk about, engage me, and do it well.
Yeah. I think they're all very well-made films. All right. Well, that was our Jordan Peele ranking video. This has been Al Rob.
And this is Rain.
And we'll holler at you all
next time.
Later date. Next time.